Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Stoic. Each weekday, we bring you a meditation inspired by the ancient Stoics, something to help you live up to those four Stoic virtues of courage, justice, temperance, and wisdom. And then here on the weekend, we take a deeper dive into those same topics. We interview Stoic philosophers. We explore at length how these Stoic ideas can be applied to our actual lives and the challenging issues of our time. Here on the weekend, when you have a little bit more space, when things have slowed down, be sure to take some time to think, to go for a walk, to sit with your journal, and most importantly, to prepare for what the week ahead may bring. Hey, it's Ryan Holiday. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Stoic Podcast. This was way back in September. I got an email from Bird Lovell, an agent that I've worked with going back, I don't know, 12, 13 years. I've known him since I was in college through another writer that I worked with. Anyways, Bird is someone I've done a lot of ghostwriting projects with, and he's now one of the biggest agents in all of publishing. And he shot me an email. He said, "Hey, I was just on the phone." He works at UTA, and he was like, "I was just on the phone with an up and coming UTA client," and he's like, "She kept talking about Stoicism. I asked her if she knew of your stuff," and he was like, "She did." And he said, "I couldn't wait to introduce you to." And he asked if I'd like to talk to her, and that's how I got connected with today's guest, Ex Mayo, actress, comedian, producer, self-proclaimed taco expert. She hails from South Central Inglewood, California. She ended up in New York City in 2013 with literally $80 in a suitcase. And 24 moves later, she is an Emmy-nominated writer for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. She's a creator and host of Who Made the Potato Salad, a comedy show and party that's made in 24 hours that stars only Black people and people of color. And you can catch X on the second season of Yearly Departed and the new hit NBC sitcom American Auto. We had an awesome conversation. Her energy, you can tell, is just absolutely infectious. Again, there's a couple stereotypes about Stoicism, right? One, that it's for men. Two, that it's white. And three, that it's dour and not any fun. And today's guest is a critical and very fun reminder that none of those three stereotypes need to have any basis in reality. And I've got to say, this was one of the most fun conversations I've ever had on the Daily Stoic Podcast. And you can listen to my interview now with X Mayo. You can go to her website at X. It's the letter X, MAYO.me. And you can follow her on Instagram at $80 in a suitcase. That's 80 and then dollars in a suitcase. I think you're going to like this one. And I had a great time myself. I thought I'd start with this because it's something I don't understand about your business at all. It's the thing that frustrates me the most about it. How do you manage the insane timelines and lack of control over the business, right? Like, I feel like Hollywood is the slowest moving, but also fastest moving business in the world, right? It's like, one of my books got optioned to be a movie almost 4 years ago, and I'm not sure it's any, people are supposedly working on it every day, and it's no further to, like, it frustrates me and it confuses me and baffles me. It makes me so grateful that I exist in a field where I get to control what I do, right? How do you deal with that sort of powerlessness day to day of like not being in control of the schedule and the pace of things?
Well, I've been doing it a very long time, so I've just gotten used to the fact that this shit's going to happen whenever it's supposed to happen. Yeah. And for somebody for somebody like myself, I'm someone that does not wait. So my lack of patience really works for me in this industry. So it's just kind of like, okay, I know I have these projects and stuff like that, that you guys say that you're working on, and I'm going to do my own shit. And if I still feel like there's no momentum moving here, I'm going to move it on my own. And get shit done on my, and get shit done myself. Yeah. But it is, the business really is hurry up and wait. That's like yes. the name of the game. And as an actor, you learn very quickly that they literally pay you to wait. You act for free. We are, right, we are literally getting paid to wait. Like we wait all day on set. And then you can't really, like, cause I'm a writer as well. So it's like, I can't really tap into that writer brain and get to fucking writing, because then they're going to call you on set. And then like, what if I'm on set and I have to like, you know, play a fucking vampire? Like, you know, I got to get into my vampire shit. You know, I can't be like, you know, jolly writing comedy and then just go like, and become a vampire. Like you got to get into it. So yeah, it's difficult, but I love it. It's difficult, but I truly, truly love it.
No, that's interesting, right? Because it's not just like, hey, we're going to make this show or we want you to be in this comedy or whatever. And then everyone gets all excited. There's meetings about it. And, mm-hmm. you know, it gets announced in the trades. And then mm-hmm. shooting starts 18 months from that window or whatever, right? There's that wait. But then even when you're on set, you might be on set for 13 hours and be on camera for 20 minutes.
Yes. And you get paid a lot of money
to wait.
If you're lucky, you get paid a whole lot of money. I'm telling you, LeBron James was complaining about that on his show on HBO. He was just like, yeah, when he was shooting Space Jam, he was like, because I'm like him in the manner that, not that I can play basketball, I'm very bad, but I'm like him in the manner of I am an efficient ass bitch. So I'm like, yeah. We need efficiency. I do this, then I do this, and I do that. He's like, there's so much shit I could have got done, this and that. And it's like, yes, but we're waiting for Bugs Bunny to come to life on the green screen. So you have to wait. And he's just like, the fuck? I could have played fucking 6 All-Star games. What the fuck is going on? It's like, yeah, that's literally the business. And now he's like, his movie is like stamped and imprinted on little children forever. Yeah.
Yeah, like I've written multiple books in the time it's taken to adapt and start this other one.
I could just see you, Ryan, because you're like, so fucking efficient. You have so many damn books. I like am so envious of you of how well and quickly that you write and get writing done. Cause writing is like, it is like painful, annoying, lonely, annoying. It takes a lot of fucking time. And every time I listen to you every fucking morning, Ryan got another goddamn book. I said, God damn it, Ryan. God damn it. Every time I look up, the boy who will be king, courage is called. I said, God, you know what, Ryan? I'm going to stop listening to you because you're making me feel like I'm not productive. Shit.
Well, how do you find a way to be productive in that time? Because I'm sure you're not just watching TV in your trailer. Like, how do you use all that time where you're sitting around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the thing is that like, well, because I'm an actor, writer and producer, so I have my own sketch comedy show, but it's also like a community resource hub for Black and Brown people called Who Made the Potato Salad. So I've been producing since I was 19. Then I started writing and producing my own plays at 19. So like I have a lot of things that I want to do. And I also want to like tap into the nonprofit space. And then I'm always like, you know, people reach out to me, which I'm very grateful and honored and humbled by, to like mentor them. So there's always something for me to do, but I have like a strict calendar and I have like, this is when I'm on my dead time. Like there's dead time, then I can get this done. I can do this. I can do that. Like, especially like with the thing that I'm writing now, it's like, okay, well I can be doing my beat sheet right now, or I can be doing this, you know, like, but then also, Ryan, this whole fucking industry and all the opportunities you get is about relationships. So you can't just be tucked in your fucking trailer all day when you need to be fostering relationships, right? Because now I'm privy to certain projects and certain things that are on the ground that I'm now being considered before that I wouldn't have been if I wasn't talking to nobody. So you really have to find that like sweet, sweet spot.
Yeah, because you could spend your whole day networking and meeting people, and then you wouldn't have the material to go out and do stuff. But, and also, if you just spent your time creating the material, it would exist in a vacuum. And the reality is there's already too much material out in the world. That balance is, I imagine, difficult.
It was at first, but then it's not. Like, I used to say that I'm an extrovert, and then I got my own place. I was like, I don't know if I'm an extrovert or I just had roommates because I was fucking living in New York and I was always living with so many people and I was always out, like in New York, just out. And then I moved back home to LA and I got my own place and I'm like, leave. We're in a goddamn pandemic, of course, but like, even like, you know, the little safety ways that you can meet up and stuff like that. I'm just like, I actually just want to look out the window in the sun to silence. Like, I don't want to fucking, but I was just saying that to speak to the point of like, it's very easy for me to like balance it because I love people. I love meeting people. I truly, truly have a heart for people. Like, I fucking love people. I love talking to them. I can talk to anybody. I love crowds of a lot of people. And so I'm able to like go out there and do that and then retreat and do my work. And because I give myself deadlines, that's how I'm able to do it. So I know if I've been like networking a few days on set and like being a little chatty Cathy, okay, these next couple of days, they won't think they're like, oh, X is a bitch. Like, I was talking to you the first 3 days of the week. So Thursday and Friday, I can fucking be in the trailer and, you know.
Well, I think that's an interesting part. I guess maybe people can relate to it a little bit more now that the whole world is sort of on this work from home model. But one of the tough things I think about being a creative is like, no one actually cares if you do the work or not, right? So there's no one monitoring you to know whether you're like staying at home doing the hard, unpleasant creative stuff that's ultimately the fuel for whatever your next project is. No one cares if you're practicing. No one cares if you're creating. And so you have to have this sort of, because there's no one disciplining you the way that a boss is like, hey, I need to see this by Friday. You have to be in charge of your own life and your own schedule. And it's tough because as fun as creative work is, it's also really unpleasant.
Yes. Well, the thing is that I've always been a crazy little bossy pants. Like, since elementary school, I was like, why is everybody walking out at the same time during our graduation song? Like, we did Stomp and I was like, okay, so I'm going to rap. I'm going to do Salt. And then you walk out first. Like, I had a one woman show where I played every Spice Girl and I made fake tickets and gave them all to my mom's friends. I was like, and now I'm Baby Spice. It was very expositional. I was like, and now Sporty, like, did no costumes, nothing. So I've always been like very focused, and I have a problem, Ryan, when I see something in my head, it has to come to fruition. You know how people talk to you like, oh yeah, Ryan, I got this $1 million idea. I want to do this fucking app. We can do this, this, and that. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, you're not going to do it? Like, right. There's nothing there. So I know that there are people like me that have been touched, but I believe discipline is a skill. I believe anybody can be taught any fucking thing. But I think a lot of artists get it fucked up and they think that your passion will automatically equate to discipline. And the discipline does not come. That discipline is so separate, for real.
Oh, I totally agree. I was just saying this the other day. I believe that sort of talking about your work and doing your work fight for the same resources. So people who are like, I'm working on this, check this out. You know, I think that's what's so seductive about social media is you can get credit from people for talking about your work when really you have to do your work privately at home, right? Like, you have to put your ass in the chair and make the thing. That's very unsexy, and it's rewarding in its own way, but you're not getting public validation from it until it's done. And so I've always been a big believer in just don't talk about it, be about it. Like, just yep. Do it, let the work speak for itself.
Yeah, people always say, yeah, in 2 years, we'll see who's really working. Like, you know, yes. Like, it don't fucking matter. Like, and that's the thing too, because I'm such a doer, like, I know that a lot of people are dreamers. I was like, but don't just dream, do. I just posted that, a caption about that on my Instagram, because I just feel like this whole manifestation, like, let me tell you, I know manifestation is real, but that type of shit really pisses me off, because I know a lot of motherfuckers that just sit in the chair and they're just like, yes, I'm manifesting. I'm like, you're lazy. You're lazy, and get thee behind me, because I can't have that type of energy around me. You feel me, Ryan? Like, it's just not, it's just like, just do the fucking thing. And I think so many people like to ask me, like, X, so how did you do this? Because, you know, I worked at The Daily Show and was blessed to be Emmy nominated. And now I'm on NBC on American Auto, and I just did Yearly Departed. And, you know, I just wrapped on a movie. All these things that I've done now, Ryan, I'm 34. I've been auditioning since I was 12. Okay. So I've been at this a very long time. So when so many people, I'm like, it's just reps. You just get better. Like, I think if we looked at it like basketball, if you never would think that you would hop on a court and immediately be Kobe, right? You'd be like, that's insane. Yeah. Why would you think that? You'd be like, no, I need to do reps. And I think that's how I look at this industry as well. Like, I sucked. I was very bad at comedy for a very long time. And then it switched and then the light came on and I got good. Like, that was it.
I think that is the really tricky thing about sort of what we do, and in that, like, you can't do your reps in private also, right? Like, you, mm-hmm. a comedian can't practice in front of the mirror. You have to practice on stage where there's the element of it not going well. You can really only get good in front of an audience. And so there is that uncomfortable part of, like, are you willing to be bad at it in front of people? I think that scares a lot of people off. They either think they're already good and they're not, or they're so paralyzed by their desire for perfection that it prevents them from getting up and just, like, being good enough for a long enough period of time that you are getting better from the reps.
100%. And I was bad in front of Trevor Noah. So you can imagine.
Yes.
I literally would call my mom, was like, I'm getting fired. Like, I would say jokes, because we would have what's called, like, a morning meeting. And Trevor had this shit that he, like, picked out that he wants to talk about. And our job as writers, you know, we just, like, pitch jokes or whatever, anything like that. And when you pitch a joke and everybody's just like, okay. And mind you, people probably weren't even looking like that, but it's just like, I was so, like, literally my voice would shake, right? My heart is, but I'm like, I'm about to pitch a joke to somebody who does not need this. but that's the reason why he has, like, 12, 13 fucking different writers, because we all bring something different, you know? And so it was just like, I literally would pitch jokes and it would fail. But after you fail in front of Trevor for so long, you're like an audience, like, fine, I failed in front of, like, one of the highest grossing, most talented comedians in the world. So you, like, Marcy from Cleveland, fine. Like, yeah.
If you love reading The Daily Stoic, good news, the leather-bound edition of The Daily Stoic is back in The Daily Stoic store. You can even get signed editions at store.dailystoic.com. Genuine leather cover, gilt edge pages, vinyl in sheets, all sorts of awesome stuff, even some new illustrations and logos. Comes with a cool custom box. Check it out, store.dailystoic.com. Well, isn't that what I feel like what's interesting about showbiz is that ego can be an asset, in the sense, like, if you don't care, if you think you're so great, you know, it doesn't bother you that you're bombing. That's obviously one way to do it. I think it's a fragile way mm-hmm. to do it. But what you actually cultivate, as you said, from bombing in front of Trevor Noah and then getting better as you do it, and then eventually getting stuff on air, what you take from that is confidence, which I think is important, right? You have to be like, I don't care what this lady thinks, because I know, because I've done the work and I've mm-hmm. I've seen it work. I know that the stuff is good. And I know you also have to get to a place where you know that you're not for everyone. Like, I'll get yes. comments from people and they'll be like, I don't like Ryan for X reason. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying, like, I hate that. Like what you're saying you like, I am deliberately trying not to be. So we actually agree. Like, you're saying you don't like me because I'm not X, and I don't want to be X. So it's not that we don't like each other. It's that we shouldn't be interacting with each other. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anybody that doesn't like you, Ryan, I mean, go to hell. I'm a believer. I know you're an atheist, Ryan, but I'm not. I'm a Christian, and there is a hell, and go there. Go to hell. If you don't fucking like Ryan Holiday, are you kidding me, bitch? I'm not going to say some other choice words, because this is, you know, stoicism. We're going to get into that. And I am about that. I got it right here, Ryan.
Oh, you got the calendar. Amazing.
I have everything. Ryan, when I tell you I drink the blood, I'm in the cult. I got it. I'm in it. I've got it. We're in it. But if you don't like Ryan Holiday, seriously, God, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. But God bless you. And I will be you. I'm putting you on my prayer list.
I love it. Well, so how did you find Stoicism? Let's start there.
Yeah. Okay. So I found Stoicism because of my very good friend, Novi. She is a phenomenal writer. She's Emmy nominated. Hello. And is a writer at the Black Lady Sketch Show. And she is like she put me on to really like Tim Ferriss. I had listened to a Tim Ferriss episode, but didn't know, I wasn't like heavy into it. Right. And sure. So she really put me on to meditating. And because she's another Black woman, and she also like, we come from the same upbringing as far as like church, the fact that she was into it, I was like, okay, let me see what the fuck this is about. But Stoic, when I hear Stoic, I'm like, I don't want to be like that. Like Stoic is like, you know, you got to stick up your ass or something. Like you just like, you sit there, you look, you don't emote. And as you can see, I'm an emoting person. I don't know if emoting is a word, but it will be today.
It is.
Okay, great. And so when she was like daily Stoic and then she was reading me, I was like, oh, okay, this sound like commandments, but without thou. Like, I feel like Stoicism is really like just the 10 extra commandments, but there's no thou shall. It's just like, okay, this is just what it is. And so I also like, Brian, I used to be like very self-righteous, very religious. Like I would have never spoken to you. You were going to hell and bye. Like I was just so, so self-righteous and in a box. And now moving to New York, I moved there and I was there for 8 years. I recognize that I believe what I believe because I'm a Black girl from South Central Los Angeles. If I was in Tokyo, I'd be Buddhist. If I was in Liberia, I'd be Muslim. You see what I'm saying? So who am I to be out here and being like, fuck all of y'all. All of y'all are wrong. And some of the most deepest connections, and honestly, when I've like really felt like, oh, wow, this is like such an intimate connection, is with people that don't think like me. Some people that don't have the same religious like beliefs or are atheists, you know? And so literally listening to you and practicing Stoicism was my way to open up my fucking brain and realize that there is so much more life out there, and there is so much more. There are people that do not necessarily believe what I believe, but that doesn't mean what they're saying is not true. That does not mean what they're saying is not correct. And that doesn't mean that what they believe and what they're saying can't be applicable to my life. And Stoicism, child, Ryan, you would think that you was Jesus coming back. Because the way that I tell everybody about Stoicism, I'm telling you, that's my thing. I want to bridge the church and Ryan Holiday and come together. My goal is for you to get on stage with T.D. Jakes, okay? With the bishop, okay? Because the shit you be talking is like straight up, like some of it is like Christianity or commandments in layman's terms. Does that make sense? It's like,
yeah.
I love the church. The church made me and I love it so much. But like everything, there is some holes in it. And I do believe that there was a lot of times when things were declared to me in church, but you didn't give me the tools to carry that out. Does that make sense?
It does. Did you grow up very religious?
Yes. Oh my God. Church 3 times a week, 4 times if I was acting up.
What denomination?
I grew up apostolic, Pentecostal and apostolic. You know, we don't play apostolic. We like the Jehovah Witness of the religions of the Christianity. Cause it's like, you got Baptist, you got AME, you got Episcopal, what is it? Full Gospel Baptist. Now they don't wear no earrings, Ryan. So apostolics, we felt like we was the chosen ones because we were just like, what we believe is that you must be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as Spirit of God give utterance to enter into glory. Now, I no longer believe that. Okay. I no longer believe that, like, okay, if somebody didn't get baptized, that they going somewhere else. And I'm also, okay, renegotiating hell. I said hell a lot earlier as a joke, but I have a very good friend of mine, Christiana, who's the smartest bitch I know. And she's a believer and her husband is an atheist. And they were telling me about it. And I was just like, oh, okay, there's a lot of things that I just believed in the Bible that I didn't really read, that I didn't really research. And now looking at it from this lens as a grown woman, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. So I'm definitely open to what is hell? Was that a real place? Who were they talking to? I'm definitely open to researching more versus just regurgitating what has been told to me my whole life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Have you read Love Wins by Rob Bell?
No.
I think you would really like it. I read it a couple years ago. He's basically talking about the idea that like maybe hell is not a place that you go in the afterlife. And this is to be kind of more of a Stoic argument. I feel like the Christians and the Stoics had a pretty clear alignment as far as like what one should or shouldn't do. Like they had a pretty similar definition of what you might call sin. But I feel like the Christian argument was like, if you sin, you'll make God angry and you'll go to hell. I feel like the Stoic argument is like, and this is more what Rob Bell is saying in Love Wins, is that if you sin, you will live in hell. Like your life itself on earth will be hell. And I think conversely, that also means that like heaven isn't this reward that you get at the end of life. Like heaven is where you live now, according to whether you live rightly or wrongly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I believe that there is a heaven. I do. And that's the thing too. I think based on my experience is why though too. Like I think with anything, like, you know, like why do we recommend restaurants? Like why do motherfuckers drive Uber? It's like, or ride Uber. It's like, yeah, it works. You should try this app. And then, you know, so for me, it's just like, God has shown himself to be real and true in my life so many times. And I think I felt him the most when I moved away to New York, when I got out of this religious routine and I really felt him and experienced him through people that were gay, through people that were atheist. Like even though I know that people are atheists, I feel like I'm double talking, but I believe God can use anybody. And I hope I'm not disrespecting you by saying that. Sure. But I really believe that there are some people who I've come in contact with. I'm like, that is God. Like the way that you love me, how kind you are. And I'm serious, Ryan. I believe that God is using you. Like there are so many times when you said something, like I remember, I'll tell you where the fuck I was when I had to close the Daily Stoic Journal. Everybody who's listening to this, when you get to this part, I swear to God, you might have to close it and come back some months later like I did. When you fucking said, well, you didn't say it, but it's written in the journal. But it said, are you content with being clueless about the things that do not matter? When I tell you, Ryan, middle name Holiday. What's your middle name?
Clark.
Ryan Clark Holiday. I fucking died. I had to close the goddamn book. I haven't. It's been 6 months because that right there is enough. That is a word. Now I know that's a Stoic principle, but as a Christian, that's a word. That's a bar. And so that spoke to me and I was just like, wow, I cannot fucking, and when once you really break that down, Ryan, nothing matters. Not a lot, like my family matters. Okay, like I have my water here, drinking water matters. Okay. But my thing is just like, are you content with being clueless? Like you can't, you don't need to know a fucking thing about the thing. And there were so many things at that point, Ryan, that I was focused on that did not matter. And I think it is a byproduct of working in late night because I was required to not mind my business.
Right. Yeah. You had to follow the news because it was your job.
Yes. I have to know Ariana Grande doesn't have a ponytail today. Okay. What's Trevor's take? The fuck? I don't care about this. I don't care about now, Ariana. I love you. I'm a pony. I love your music. God bless. But I don't give a fuck that you ain't got no goddamn ponytail, that your hair is down, or that you have a bob. But it's like, it's hot off the press. Everybody's talking about it on Twitter. So yeah, so that was very hard to hear that principle in the pandemic while I had to continue to do my job because it was like, fuck, I can't be clueless. Like I have, so it was great. And that was a word. God used you, Ryan. That was amazing.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. No, I think there is something weird about the Daily Stoic and the Daily Stoic Journal in that I wrote it like 5 years ago now, and obviously like it's 365 entries, so I wrote 365 entries. I wasn't like, hey, March 1st, it should be this. And then, you know, May 3rd, it should be this. Like, I just wrote 365 things. And then I kind of loosely shuffled them around in a way that I thought it would make sense. But then I'll hear from people and they'll be like, how did you know? Like, how did you know I needed this one today? And it's like, I didn't, like, at all. Like, I have no idea who you are. And there was no planning behind this whatsoever. But I think like when the Stoics talk about fate or when you talk about seeing God or God's hand in things, I think that's what that is. Like, it's sort of the randomness of life somehow often gives you exactly what you need, even when you don't think you could need it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that too, like with Stoicism, the reason why I've shared it with so many other people that are believers, and they have literally been like, X, this shit has changed my fucking life, because it's like, it literally takes it a step further beyond just like faith over fear or don't pray and worry. Like, you give like actual tangible tools. And also too, when I focus on what I can control, it's kind of like Trevor Moad, his philosophy about neutral thinking. May he rest in peace.
He has a book coming out about that. I just heard from his publisher. It was the last thing he wrote before he died. It's on neutral thinking. Yeah, I'm not sure when it comes out, but I'm writing it down. I'm going to make sure that they give it to you.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, it takes what it takes. I mean, I listen to that on Audible. Like, each chapter is like 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, I'm listening to that every fucking day. But that I feel like it's Stoicism-ish.
Yeah.
When he talks about how you don't focus on what you can, focus on what you can control and not how you feel. And that way you focus on what you can do. And then you're in control. You do the thing to attack the thing that you can control on, and then it's over.
Yeah.
You know, because positive thinking, you know, sometimes it's like shit is not positive. Like, this fucking pandemic that we're on, everything that, you know, that shit is not positive. But then negative thinking, it's like, okay, that always works. Like, so I could just think negative, but what about neutral? And I think that's another thing too, Ryan, listening to you and the Daily Stoic and practicing Stoicism, is that growing up as a Christian, everything was black and white. And I didn't realize until I started listening to you that I'm very judgmental. I put things in a binary as a defense mechanism to make myself feel safe. So it's like, it has to be black or white, right? It has to be this or that. And because I was raised with people who would use ambiguity as an attempt to manipulate me and would do it successfully, when people would try to say nuance, like, I just started using that word a year ago because I didn't even like that word. I was like, what do you mean nuance? Yeah. No, it's bad or it's good. Like, you know, and it's like, well, things are complicated. And I realized that I was living in the nuance of things when I was making declarations like, I believe this thing. Like, because Ryan, I was totally against smoking weed. I was like, don't smoke weed. I'm not going to smoke. And then my cycle got to be so bad to where girls were like, girl, you might want to pop an edible. And I have fibroids and it's very bad. And so I started doing that. But then it's kind of like, people are so shocked to hear me say that because I was so lying in the sand, like, fuck weed. So it just, and then I feel like I lost trust of people because it was like, well, she's saying one thing and she's doing another, you know? Mm. So I've learned within the past like 2 years about how, because I have a tendency to be judgmental, I need to be quiet. Because as you're talking, I want to put something in a binary. I'm like, but then there are some, like, rape is bad. You know, like, rape is bad. You know, like, racism is bad. Like, there are some points where, you know, we're not going to be nuanced, okay? But I do, that is one thing that I have learned by listening to you. I was like, oh, wow, he's, like, talking things. He's not really judging things, and I'm like so judge. I'm like, no, that's bad, that's good, which isn't the case a lot of the time.
I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorne sponsored today's episode. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorne, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. thorne.fit/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. There's a lot of things we know would be good for us. Problem is, we don't have time. It's just tougher. I think therapy is like that. We all know that sitting down, talking to someone, really working on our issues will make a difference. So the problem is finding a therapist, driving across town, all of that, right? And that's where Talkspace comes in, today's sponsor. Because by doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easier, more accessible, and more affordable. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. You can have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. And Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end grade encryption to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to talkspace.com/stoic and enter code SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to talkspace.com/stoic and enter promo code SPACE80, that's 80, to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's talkspace.com/stoic, promo code SPACE80. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a strange reading that a lot of modern Christianity has on Jesus. Like, I can't imagine if Jesus came back today, he'd have a lot of negative opinions about trans people or what, you know what I mean? Like, he'd be very chill and very calm and very focused on generally loving, helping, being kind to people, being patient with people, forgiving people. Like that's been a weird part watching during the pandemic, just how much of Christianity seems to have missed what I think the most important tenet in all of Jesus's teachings are, which is love thy neighbor. Like actually just care about and give a shit about other people, even if you don't like them, even if you disagree.
But Ryan, you forget the other part is love thy neighbor as I love thyself. What if you don't love yourself? You can't fucking love your neighbor. You feel me?
Right.
It's not just love thy neighbor. It's love that. So a lot of people don't love themselves. That's why they're out there. Now I say this because I know a lot of Christians, we get a lot of bad rap. A lot of people be like, you guys are hypocrites, this, this, and that. But I love what T.D. Jakes said when someone tried to tell him that. He was like, hypocrites? Okay. Well, what about when you go in a strip club? That girl don't love you. That girl dancing on you? She's a hypocrite. But you go to the strip club, right? Okay, thank you. God bless. So that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, I feel like the church is a hospital and we all sick. So yep. I feel like we all contain hypocrisies. As much as I want to be like, capitalism is bad, Amazon is going to give me a Roomba and some titty tape in 24 hours. So I'm going to go on Amazon because I need to wear this dress. I need to tape my titties and I need a Roomba, period. So it's just like, you feel me, Ryan? Like, we all contain hypocrisies. Like, we're all, it's just, it's complicated. What the fuck you want me to do? I'm one person, goddammit. I'm not a billionaire, okay? I don't control nothing. So I really believe that, like, if people, if you really want to believe in Christ, you will. Like, it's not based off of people. It's not. And I think that there are a lot of people that are doing the will of God and that are trying their hardest, but there are some, especially, you know, the Caucasians, okay, that are out here professing that this is like the message of Christ, not to get vaccinated, not to wear a mask, that racism is okay. You know, like that's awesome bullshit. And you can quote me on that.
Yeah. One of my favorite things from Marcus Aurelius, he says, like, you know, you just don't have to have an opinion. Right. And that's where I've tried to get, like, as far as other people's behavior. It's like, I don't have to have an opinion about what you do for a living. I don't have to have an opinion about stuff I don't enjoy. I don't have to have an opinion about your private life, even if it's weird to me, even if I think it's unhealthy. Like, I just don't have to have an opinion about that.
I know, Ryan. And I opened the book and then you said that and then I closed it again. You said, what if I didn't have an opinion about this? I'm like, Ryan, I'm a fucking black woman in America. I got an opinion about every fucking thing. I got an opinion about every goddamn thing. I got an opinion. Why the fuck is McDonald's? Why is the M like that? It should be longer. Why is it gold? What does gold mean? They want us to get gold because we're from Africa. And I'm just like, when you said that, I was like, damn. And then I'm in a job where I'm required to have an opinion. What if I came to fucking work and I'm like, Trevor, you know, I don't really have any thoughts about that.
Who cares?
Like, yeah, no, stoicism does not work for comics. Like, it's just, it's fucking hard. Like, that's a lie. That's a joke. It does work. But I'm just saying, it was very hard in my line of work, especially with Ryan. I'm required to make jokes 8 to 10 hours a day for 3 years. You feel me? Like, it was just, yeah, it was hard. But once I left it, it was like, whew, it was like stoicism all day. Like, oh my God, I was in a goddamn stoic-topia.
Well, it's like you can be a stoic, but you're in the environment that you're in can be very unstoic, and one has to figure out how to navigate that. And there's nothing wrong with being on Twitter or having an opinion, being able to joke about what's happening in the world. It's just, I think the problem is when people start to actually really care. Do you know what I mean? Like, it starts to become part of their identity. Like, this is, you know, I'm sure you know comics who just, they just spend way too much time on social media. It's become like the lens through which they experience reality. And that's just not healthy.
And I disagree with you, Ryan. You said it's okay to go on Twitter. It is not. That is where demons roam. Now that's hell. We can agree on that. Twitter is hell. That's the hell that we're talking about. When I say go to hell, go to Twitter, period, because it's trash. But I totally agree with you. And as far as like, what is that balance there? And that's where my faith comes in, because it's like, listen, I'm never going to miss out on any opportunity. Whatever is for me will never miss me. I don't give a fuck if they DM'd me. Also, I have representation. You can Google me. I have a website. Like, I remember when Instagram went down, a lot of people were like, where's my career? And I'm like, bitch, you better figure it the fuck out. Cause I'm like, don't have a website. You don't have representation. You don't have anything. Like, you could find me. So yeah, you definitely do need to have that balance, because I know a lot of people who live and die by the internet, and it's just truly not real. And I started the Twittering machine. I had to put it down because I was like, wow, this shit. Cause you see how I am the fucking little, what is it called? The little lab rat that they're using, like in this thing. And when I saw an article that said like the top tech people don't fucking let their kids use the fucking apps that they made, I said, well, what is in the app? Why is it okay if I use it? But yeah, it's a gift and a curse, because we needed to promote our shows, to promote our, I mean, that's how I find you. And I'm always sharing your shit. And like, it's always in my stories, and people like started following you and they love when I repost your shit. So I'm just like, it is a gift and a curse, but I think you use it for good and not evil, Ryan.
Well, thank you. No, I try. I think it's about boundaries ultimately, right? Like, how do you have it in your life, but make sure that you're using the technology, not that the technology is using you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My homegirl, Novi, who I told you about, who introduced me to you, she had sent me an article about how to make your iPhone work for you. And it's been like so seamless. And I'd like deleted stuff. It's crazy. Like, you don't even know all these little trackers, all these little things, or how to manage pop-ups, like different shit like that. It's really helped me a lot, especially in the pandemic. Like, it was just, we're all just on our fucking phones. But I have to put it away, especially because now I have deadlines. I have shit to write. Like, I'm very grateful where my career has gone. And like, I'm really trying to attack this year. And it's just like, I got to be focused. So I delete Instagram. I upload it on Mondays to promote the show. American Auto Tuesdays on NBC, 8 p.m., followed by Grand Crew, produced by my friend Phil Jackson. Okay. And Grand Crew is an all-Black show. It's phenomenal. I know some of the writers and the actors, Carl Tart, Nicole Byer, Echo. They're just killing it. But also American Auto, the show I'm on, is created by Justin Spitzer, who also created Superstore, and he came from The Office. So he just makes nothing but the hits. And we have like Anna Gasteyer leading, who's SNL royalty. So yeah, so I log on every Monday. That's what I'm doing now. And I like upload and promote the show and then delete it. Cause it's really? Just like, yeah.
Most of the stuff for me is either managed by someone else or it's all scheduled. So like I go like, hey, this would be a cool post and I'll send it to them, but it'll be like 2 weeks from now. So then if I change my mind or if I think, you know, I think one of the problems with social media is that it's really reactive. So it's like, yeah, stuff is happening in the world that's terrible and frustrating and annoying and weird. You don't want to be like responding in real time because that's when you say stuff that you regret or that doesn't age well, or that's coming from a place of anger or fear or frustration. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's a good way to manage your public self.
Yeah, and also too, Ryan, I've never been one who argued on the internet. You will never catch me in the comments. I don't go in the comment section. When American Idol came out, like some people knew about some of the negative press we were getting. I don't go, like if you look on my Twitter right now, it's literally reposts of projects that I've done. I only got it because I started working at The Daily Show and they were like, if Trump takes his dick out, you got to have a joke. And I was like, okay, so I got to be ready, you know, because he, you know, his dumbass, he was meeting with the Taliban. He was just a dumbass. And so I was just like, okay, let me get Twitter. What is Trump doing? What's little Trump, baby Trump, all the Trumps? I don't know their names. I don't give a fuck. And I had to learn all that. And so that's why I have Twitter, but I don't go on there ever, Ryan. You just can't. You can't. It serves no purpose to me. And I also too feel like, who are you? Like I genuinely, when people go back and forth with trolls, I'm like, who the fuck is this bot? This bitch that's a
fucking
snowman.
It might not even be a real person. You could be arguing like, with a computer, what? You idiot. Yeah.
I'm just like, I just don't care. I just don't care. My mama thinks I'm funny, but we're done. That's it. That's the first, last, and only critic. My mama, she loved it. Great. Moving on.
How do you keep a sense of humor about all of it? There's a quote from Seneca I like where he's saying there's sort of two paths. You can laugh about, or he says you can cry about how terrible the world is, or you can laugh about it. And he says the Stoics should sort of laugh about it, which I think is funny because, you know, we have this sense that the Stoics had no emotions. But I love the idea that they actually laughed at the absurdity or the awfulness mm-hmm. of the world. How do you keep a sense of humor about all of it?
Childhood trauma for $200. I have been through so much shit, Ryan. Like, oh my God, my auntie was a pimp. She was out here doing shit. Everybody's on drugs. It was not that harmonious. Growing up. And so I had an amazing mother who really sheltered me and shielded me as best as she could from that. And my mama is top tier. I love my mama to death. She raised me very well, worked her ass off. She's the reason why I have my work ethic and I'm so focused and I've always been career driven since I was fucking born. Like literally I would like sign everything for the field trip slip. And I'd be like, I already raised my money. I sold candy bars. I just need you to sign this so I can go to the Getty Museum. Like I was finding clippings of auditions and stuff. So for me, I've always just had that eye. I've always seen sometimes in ways that I should be taking things seriously. But because in high school, I was always in trouble. Like, X, you are always making jokes. You are never going to get anywhere in life making jokes. And Mr. Haji Marcos, fuck you, okay? Because I did. And so I think like also training that muscle, being around comics, like doing improv and sketch. I did that at UCB for like 2 years. And then being at The Daily Show, like constantly being around comics. And it's just really a skill. And I think too, like as a Black woman in America, like if you can't laugh at this shit, like I'm Black, I'm plus sized. I have an afro. Like, you know, like I don't have like the typical like curvy shape. Like if I really take in all of the bullshit every day, Ryan, I never leave my house. I would never. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it really is. And I cannot lose it. It really is my strength, truly.
Yeah. And who is it rewarding by deciding to be cynical and sad or bitter about how awful everything is?
Hold on 1 second, Ryan. I'm sorry.
No sweat.
I had a family member who recently got the COVID. So they were calling me.
Oh, no.
They're fine. Yeah, but they're fine. They're boosted. They're vaxxed. They're waxed. It's great. It's just the Omarion. You know, it's out here. It's just the Omicron. But do you know we call it the Omarion? Did you know that, Ryan?
I didn't.
Did you
I love it.
We call. I'll put you onto it. It's called the Omarion. Do you know who Omarion is?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Rob, you know who Omarion is?
I do. Hey,
who is he? Who is he?
He's a singer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Are you Googling? Yeah, Ryan, I'm going to beat your ass.
No, he's like a early 2000s like rapper, yes. R&B guy. Yes.
Yes. Well, not really rapper, singer. He was the star of B2K. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my God, Ryan.
Wait. You'll love this. So I did Google him. I knew who he was, but I did Google him. But this is a Variety headline. Omarion, I am an artist, not a COVID variant.
Yes, Ryan, you got to hop on Black Twitter just for 5 seconds so you have your ear to the street so you know what the fuck is going on. Because Black people, you know, we have to laugh at everything. Like, we have to, like, to keep from crying. And I always say this, Black people, we tired, but we resilient, period. Like, we get over racism and all the bullshit and all the shit that white people have fucking done. It's like, we got to laugh. So that's why when the Omicron, it was like, this Omarion is out here. Like, we had to do it.
I love Black Twitter. I had a weird experience. I like being like not in the in group, right? Like I went and I saw Hasan Minhaj's show when he was in Austin.
I love him.
He was on The Daily Show, yeah. And
And
it was really weird being in the audience and realizing like most of the jokes are not for me. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Or that like a lot of the jokes were like about white people, which is, you know, because how American culture historically has been, like most things on TV, in art or whatever, are for me, right? Like they're about like my people, right? Like all the jokes and the assumptions are about like what it's, you know, the worldview of a straight white person, essentially, or a straight middle-class white person. And so it was fascinating. Like, you know, he's doing all these jokes about like how your parents really wanted you to be a doctor or whatever, and they were really strict. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That wasn't what it was like for me. You know, like it was like, actually, I love different kinds of humor that are like, you have to think about to get, because you're not just naturally speaking that language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not an Omarion fan, so I don't immediately get that reference, right?
Because like the slander. Oh no, he takes it back. Wait, Black Twitter gonna light your ass up. No, he takes it back. Black people, listen to me. That was a little knee jerk reaction. Okay, he takes it back. Ryan Holiday is an Omarion fan. He is going to the concert. He is downloading Entourage as we speak. Amen. Do you like R&B, Ryan? What's the type of music you like?
I like heavy metal.
Heavy metal. Okay, not for me. I'm not the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan said exactly. But this is the thing, Ryan. I've tried. I have dabbled in Korn. Okay. Oh shit, Korn ain't the lick. I thought I was doing something. See, I thought I was connected. Oh shit. Okay. Kiss.
Yeah. I mean, these are they're different levels of heavy metal that appeal to different types.
Oh, it's levels
of,
to this shit. Teach me
audience.
Something. Okay. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's a good band. That's not really heavy metal, but that's a good white person band. Yeah.
Okay. No, I was working really hard, Ron. I ain't going to fuck you up and be like Maroon 5. Oh, no. I would never disrespect you like that and do some shit like that. At least, God damn it, if I know nothing about heavy metal, I know Adam Levine is not it. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Talking about Sunday morning rain is coming. Ryan's like, turn that shit off. I want to hear some. Okay, so you're going to listen to Omarion, and I'm going to listen to some heavy metal. Who do you suggest? Who should I listen to?
I'll send you some Iron Maiden, and we'll trade off.
Some Iron Maiden. I know that's right.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. I talk about that in Growth Hacker Marketing. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. And now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/stoic right now, netsuite.com/stoic. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases and next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener. The time is now more than ever to embrace breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that have enthralled you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped. My wife and I have both been raving about this book, Furious Hours, which is this true crime story that lo and behold, involves Harper Lee. And then even though I've been raving about the book for years and years, my wife finally listened to it on Audible. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Visit audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. That's audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. You know what's funny? I think Black Twitter, I liked when that was more of what Twitter is instead of just politics. Like all the, I remember when people would talk about like pizza on Twitter or whatever, you know, instead of just like the most vile political pointless political arguments that you could imagine. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the other thing about humor is that at least humor brings us together in a way that, you know, it doesn't when we're just arguing over stuff.
Well, that's another thing too. Also, we have a lot of self-appointed critics. Mm-hmm. Like somebody will read a one fucking article about space and now they're an astronaut. Now they can tell you anything and everything about fucking space. And I'm like, you are not well-read enough to enter these conversations. And I know that about myself. I know what I don't know and I don't know a lot. Okay, Ryan? Okay. Sure. Like there's a lot of shit that that's why I read. That's why I fucking read, because I'm like, let me learn, let me find out. And that's another thing too, like when we were writing jokes and stuff at the Daily Show, I was very blessed that we had researchers, producers, studio, like everybody would bring the whole thing together like a goddamn pie. And they're like, my joke is truly the cherry. But they're bringing the pie. But they're like, hey, so what is your joke? But they're bringing me, I was blessed to have all that information out. Now, the bitch that's fucking working at Dunkin' Donuts does not have a studio producer, does not have a researcher, does not have 12 other brilliant writers that are really fucking smart that bring this thing together that you have all the facts to make a goddamn joke about or on. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. It's gotten so political and it's just kind of like, you get lost in that damn rabbit hole and now you're arguing about, I'm with you. Let's bring back pizza wars. Papa John's versus Domino's. Let's have that. Let's get into that. Let's have that be on Twitter than the shit that they got on right now.
I totally agree. Well, so let me, the last thing I was going to ask you about, I did not assume you would curse such a delightful amount, which is,
I'm so sorry, Ryan.
No. Here's what I was going to say. Cause two funny things. So I curse a lot and that's like, that's just like how I think and how I write. Uh-huh. And one of the notes that I got when I wrote the draft of the Daily Stoic is that my editor was like, Ryan, I think this book can be sold in Christian bookstores, but not with all the cursing that you have in it. And so they had me take all the cursing out of it. But that's probably the criticism that I get the most. I get like angry emails about it and whatever, people get mad, especially like on the podcast. Like when I'm writing, I can control it. But when I'm talking, it just comes out. I think it's just being from California or whatever. That's just sort of the mentality that I picked up. But how do you think about that? To me, I almost feel like there's like swear shaming. Right, like we like shame people for cursing, but we're not supposed to judge people's moral and personal choices. But we can decide it's not okay to curse. I don't get it.
Yeah, I was one of those people, and I think the reason why I used to do it, like I can tell you when I started cursing. I had so much cursing built up and so much judgment. I was just saying like motherfucker for like 2 hours straight. It was just like vomiting out. I started cursing around 2016. I remember I was like just like it's just fucking language. And I remember I said that. I was like, it's just fucking language. Like, what the fuck? Whatever. And it just felt so good in my body. But I know that before I did it because I was very self-righteous and I used to do it. Now I'm not saying this is why everybody else shames. You know, you gotta, you know, put that out there. I'm not speaking for every fucking body. But I know I used to do it because it's like, I'm big, you're small. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm above you. I'm better. Look at me. I can choose other choice words besides fuck and damn and shit. And you're just like, just so less than. And it's just like, bitch, get out of here. It's not. And honestly, Ryan, I don't, no diss to your publisher or manager, whoever told you that. A lot of Christians cuss. So your shit probably would have sold quicker if you had some motherfuckers in it. So if you would have put the damn Daily Stoic, Black people would be like, what is this? Oh, goddamn. He said the damn, he's serious about this shit. Like,
Well,
yes.
let's go back to Jesus. I don't think Jesus would be around policing what words people use. That doesn't seem like a very good use of
No.
his time.
No, David was a murderer and was killing people and, you know, having sex with naked women that were in the window, you know, and then, you know, he was hanging. First of all, Rahab was a prostitute who God used. The Lord fucked with everybody. Jesus kicked it with everybody. He loves everyone, which is always so jarring to me when people are just like, no, you are less than. Now, I think that if somebody is not kind, right? If they're not loyal, right? If they're like, somebody comes up to you, Ryan, they're like, Ryan, I want to have sex with your wife. Yeah, Ryan, you shouldn't hang out with that person. You should not. That we're not talking about that. But somebody who curses is like, what? That is not indicative of their entire moral compass. Like, get out of here. But that comes with growth, Ryan. That comes with leaving your bubble, right? These are a lot of things I learned because I fucking left LA and I went to New York and I was around so many different people that were kind of like, hey, the way you think is really small-minded. And I literally had enough open of a mind to be like, I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah.
I also think it's more fun. It's more fun to curse than to not curse.
Yeah. Just period. Just period. Did you ever used to do that as a kid? I remember we used to do that all the time. When I was little, like not around my mom, like I used to be like, damn was my word. Like I just knew it was like just the worst thing of all. Like, damn it.
No, and there's honestly nothing funnier than hearing a child curse. Like my 5-year-old the other day was like, "This is fucking bullshit," and I like fell over laughing.
I remember when my brother did it. Now, my tell you now, my mom is old school. She does not play that. Nothing that is not funny to her. Okay, so I remember my brother was on his phone and he was like, "Shit." Right? He was 8 and I'm in the front dying laughing. And my mom was like, what did you say? And he was like, no, something messed up. I was like, shoot. I was like, Steven. And in my head, I wasn't going to stall him out because, you know, my mom has turned over a new leaf, but during that time, she was still whooping ass. And I was like, I don't know when my brother get his ass beat. And I don't want to have to grab my mother's hand and be like, you will not. But she kind of like let it rock. And I let it rock too. Like, yeah, mom, I think he said shoot. But I'm like dying laughing inside. But it was so funny because it was real to him. His phone messed up and he was like, shit.
Well, and where did he learn that word, right? It's like in a Christmas story. He's like,
from
who taught you that word? Yeah, no,
his
well, they
sister.
Learned it from, and where'd you learn it from? Your parents, right?
My parents?
Like, exactly.
As much as saved as my mama was, I said, ooh, mama, because let me tell you, once the Lakers lose, because you know, my mama's Mexican, my dad's Black. Mexicans, we don't fuck around when it comes to the Lakers, the Dodgers, and J-Lo, okay? Don't. That's the Holy Trinity. Okay, Lakers, Dodgers, J-Lo. Don't you talk about any of those people. Kobe, literally when Kobe died, me and like some of my family was like, how are we gonna tell your mom? Like literally like Kobe means so much to us and like, but my mom, she like loved the Lakers. So like if the Lakers were losing or like, you remember when we lost to the Celtics or Shaq missed a free throw? She's like, God damn it, Shaq. I said, okay. Wait till
right,
I tell
that's where you
shit.
Learn it. Yeah.
Yes, right. Oh my God, right. I could talk to you for 2 hours. I could talk to
no,
you.
No, this is amazing. I'm so glad we met. This is hilarious.
Ryan, I was really trying hard. I was like, do not curse, because I listen to you every day. So I listen to the other people. I'm like, the vibe is very calm. X, be calm.
No, this is way more fun.
I was trying my hardest, Ryan, but you know, I gotta be me, unfortunately. So
I mean, what else could you be? I mean, right. that's who you should be. And that is a weird thing too. I think as far as it's like advice I try to give people, it's like, you're the only one of you, right? And yeah. So to try to, it seems like it's a bad strategy to go try to be like someone else, because now there's competition, mm-hmm. right? Like just be yourself, and mm-hmm. who gives a shit what anyone thinks?
Yeah, but it takes you a minute. Like, it's something about turning 33, aka my Jesus year. It was something about then, because especially your Jesus year in a pandemic, you truly think, oh, I'm gonna die. Like, when I was like, memento mori, yes, bitch. That was like, I turned 33. I was like looking around to my left and my right. I was like, I love y'all. It's been real. They was like, X, please. I'm like, listen, we in a goddamn panini. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Listen, I don't know. And I think another thing too, Ryan, like the reason why stoicism helped me so much too is that my brother died when I was 16.
Oh no.
He died due to a drunk driver. That's why I don't drink. And I was also raised around alcoholics and drug addicted family members. So losing him, and then I've lost three other cousins, and my family, like, my mom has 9 brothers and sisters, all my cousins. My mom is like the oldest and is the auntie that's always like had her shit together. So at some point, some cousin lived with us. So my cousins are like my brothers and sisters. We're very, very close. So I've lost 3 other cousins as well. So I've lost 4 very important people in my life. And starting with my brother, I hate that it happened, but like the Bible says, all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. And I think what it taught me immediately, because he died at 25, and at 16, 25 is so far away.
Sure.
It's like, that's like 40. I was like, oh, life is really short. I don't have a lot of time down here. So when you talk about memento mori and just like, I'm going to die, I always think about death. And I really felt like there was nobody I could really talk to this about, and to know that there is a group, like there are Stoics who know that and talk about that. I talk about it so much and I think about it just because it's been so real for me. And I know that it is what everybody got to pay taxes and die.
Yes.
Like, that's it. Like, everybody, well, if Wesley Snipes, but you know, that's, you know, you're neither here nor there. He's working on it. Wesley's working on it. But it's just, yeah, I always think about death, and I always think about like, hey, I don't have a lot of time down here, so I don't have a lot of time to waste. So that's why I go all gas, no brakes, because I'm always thinking about like, you know, Ryan, knock on wood, prayerfully, we'll make it to 75, maybe 80. And we're in the year 2022. That's not 80 out of 2. That's not a lot of fucking time. You right. know, so I just don't. When people just sit on their dreams, when they sit on, I'm like, oh, you really think you have time? But somebody like me who's experienced death so soon and so quickly, I'm like, bitch, you know, I'm hoping 45, but we'll see. And I don't, not in a negative way. I don't want you to think of like as a mourner or really like sad. It's just realistic.
Well, to me, it's about getting to a place where you're just always good. So if you get to 70 or 80, you're like, that's awesome. But you also aren't sitting around in your 30s feeling like you haven't already lived a full life. Like, to me, I feel like very blessed to be like, I've done up until now, I've done everything I could do, right? That's not to say I couldn't do. If you give me another 50 years, I'll give you 50 years worth of stuff. But like, I can very confidently say that I've given you 34 years. Like, I've been alive for 34 years. Whereas a lot of people are 50 and they've maybe lived cumulatively like 10 of those years, you know, because they wasted so much of it, either trying to be someone else, working a job that they hate, being addicted to this or that, right? Like, they've wasted that time. And so it really doesn't matter how long you live for. What matters is how much you live in the years that you have.
Which is why I can take every risk, because I'm just like, this is tomorrow really is not promised. I literally open my eyes and take a breath and then turn on Daily Stoic as I'm doing my bed. And I do that because I'm just like, I am so grateful for this moment, for today. Like, tomorrow truly is not promised, which is why my name on Instagram is $80 in a suitcase, because I went to New York on vacation and just stayed. Because wow. I truly believe in myself, and I believe in the God in me, truly. Like, I really know that there's a purpose and a plan that he's put in me, and he's rules over my life. So if he brought me there, why wouldn't he provide for me there? So I hustled my ass off. I was there for 2 weeks, worked Fashion Week. And when I got there, I was supposed to be working with this girl doing makeup. She's the reason I bought my ticket. Never heard from her again. So I was like, fuck that. There's a reason I bought my ticket. I'm about to talk to every goddamn person I know in LA. Who do y'all know in New York? And I started dressing the models. And then when I got there, I kept talking to everybody, Ryan, and everybody's broke. Everybody was like, yeah, I came here with 10,000. Now I'm broke. Somebody was like, yeah, I had 2,500. Now I barely got 700. You know, I met people, they were like, yeah, I'm a professor at NYU and I also work at a bar. Like, everybody's poor. I was right. Like, oh, well, I fit right in. I ain't got no money either. So if you can fucking do it, why can't I do it? And so, you know, but that's why if you really want it, you can get it, Ryan. You feel me? Like, I applied to 8 jobs in person and 12 online. And in 3 days, I got a job. You feel me? Like, you just figure it the fuck out. Like, if you want to make it happen, you will. And then I went from $80 in a suitcase to being an Emmy nominated writer at The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. So
you did it.
It was, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited to see what you do next. And I'm so glad we met. And let's make this a friendship.
Oh, Ryan, you're stuck with me. I went to Texas and I was like, damn, if I knew Ryan, because I know you have.
You should have told me.
You're Austin. I know, yeah. But I didn't know you at that point. Like, my booking agent is the one who connected us both. So,
yeah.
Because he was like, X, how are you able to do this and that? Because I'm writing a book about, I had 24 different roommates in New York. And he was just like, I want to write a book about that. And he was like, X, how have you been able to withstand and do this? I was like, stoicism, Ryan Holiday. That is my captain. He was like, oh my God, I fucking know Ryan. I said, don't you fucking play with me. Do you really know Ryan Holiday? And then you emailed me and I was like, oh my God, this is insane.
But I've known Bird since I was an assistant at a talent agency in Hollywood.
Wow. And also too, Ryan, I have to let the people know. So please watch American Auto. It's on NBC every Tuesday at 8 p.m. followed by Grand Crew. You have to watch them as well. And also I am in the second season of Yearly Departed that premiered on Amazon Prime. It's on there right now. And I'm in a new movie called The Blackening that should be out sometime this year. So, and I'm also starting a podcast, Ryan, with another Black girl who stands for stoicism. So you got to come on.
All right. Have me on anytime.
Okay.
Done.
Yes,
all right. Well,
thank you.
I'll see you in Austin and everyone should check out your stuff. And I'm going to get you this Neutral Thinking book.
Thank you. And follow me at $80 in a suitcase on Instagram and Who Made the Potato Salad Show.
Hey, it's Ryan. Thank you for listening to the Daily Stoic podcast. I just wanted to say we so appreciate it. We love serving you. It's an honor. Please spread the word, tell people about it, and this isn't to sell anything. I just wanted to say thank you. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so if you had a time machine, how far in time would you need to go back to be a dominant basketball player of that era?
I need to go to when Bob Cousy was playing.
In the plumber days?
27-year-old Shea would give Bob Cousy the f***ing business. He's not guarding me.
Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called 6 Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shay and I are combing through all of the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling ones, and then handing out 6 pop culture themed trophies for 6 basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. Follow 6 Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to 6 Trophies ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.